What's up, and welcome back to the Frothcast, a podcast about...
How you girls doing? You from around here?
No.
I could tell the second you girls walked in the door, you got style. Say magnifique.
I'm your host, Hendo, and this is episode 30. This episode features a conversation I had with my good bud, Brady Lawrence, all about the World Surf League's 2023 CT season and how to dominate fantasy SARF like a bad arse. Let's get it. Today's episode is brought to you by churros, because they're frickin' delicious. Aloha and wasabi, my frother friends. I've managed to escape the rabid sup gang warehouse, and I walked away surprisingly pretty unscathed, except for a prolapsed anus and a deviated septum, but that's another story. First off, thanks for tuning in today. Your support of this podcast is much appreciated, and I think it's time I come straight with all y'all who have been such loyal listeners. The truth is, I wasn't actually ever abducted by a sup gang, and my disappearance without proper communication from the pod world is inexcusable. I could lie and say I was diagnosed again with severe IBS, you know, irritable bowel syndrome, or that Gunther ate all of our microphones, or even that I took 6 months off to star in Love Island season 12. But that would just sever the wound and ignite the distrust even further. The truth is, life got in the way, and I take full responsibility for ghosting you all. I could give excuse after excuse, but that wouldn't change much. Trust me, I know what it's like to be ghosted or burned. So I'd like to formally apologize to you all for starting last season off strong with a bang, having a ripper good time, and then sporadically disappearing into the ether net like Kenny Powers when he faked his own death, which maybe I should have done. Anyhow, I am sorry, my good friends, and I have every intention of starting back up again and keeping this thing going. I do truly enjoy and love doing this podcast, and it really meant the world to me when some of you reached out asking when the next episode would drop during that little hiatus. So for that, I gotta say thank you. Shaka mahalo. Gracias. Terima kasih. Thank you, guys. With all of that out of the way, I just want to say, get farked, Gunther. Just kidding. I just want to say, let's freaking get weird here and have a jolly good time. If you get a second, please now rejoin the Frothcast Fam League on the WSL Fantasy website. Make sure you sign up now for Survival League, because I will be discussing how to absolutely dominate both games like your name is Malibu from American Gladiators. Let's hear it, Gunther.
Well, dude, it's like this. I saw this guy coming. Next thing I knew, I was on the beach taking in some cosmic rays, getting healed by Mother Nature, taking a little brewski, holding on a beautiful babe, and I'm fine today.
No hospital, no doctors, just Mother Nature, huh?
Oh, I'm a child of Mother Nature. What do you expect?
Malibu, you are truly amazing. He took a licking and he is still ticking.
Sweet.
With all that being said, let's get into today's episode where I chat with my good mate, Brady Lawrence, about all things WSL Fantasy in 2023, working on the ground for CT events, Kelly Slater's ripper after party after he won Pipeline, and so much more. Let's go.
It's time to kick ass and chew bubble gum.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Frothcast. I'm honored to have you all listening today, and even more honored to welcome back my good mate and this episode's special guest, Mr. Brady Lawrence, first time frother, long time froth dog, aka at Brady Log. Oh, hi, Ducky. How you doing today?
Oh, hi, doggy. I am doing great. How are you doing?
Hanging in there, mate. Had a little bit of a nudge the other night, a couple of nice drinks, but we bounce back. We're feeling good. I wish I could surf, but it's filthier than an anus out there, but there are waves. Have you been surfing or shooting these last few swells here in San Diego?
Unfortunately, I haven't really been surfing. I spent all last week working World Junior Championships down at Seaside. locked it down for SD. It was a great event. And then those swells right before that, I was doing a lot more shooting than surfing. I don't know. I was like, it was a little big, a little bit too big for me, but I get more pleasure out of shooting when it's that size anyway. So, got some banger lineup shots around my home city of San Diego and a bunch of box checked on the photography bucket list. So I'm frothing just as hard as anyone else who's out there getting tubed.
Rad. I was going to say good on you for those lineup shots, and also was going to ask you what it was like experiencing that World Juniors in a wave that you grew up on in your backyard. What was it like having a little regional contest down there?
It's pretty sick. I mean, you've traveled on WSL as much as I have, and if not more, guaranteed more actually. But there's something different about working a WSL event when you get to sleep in your own bed and make coffee at your own house and kind of just like not change your routine other than working like a 13-hour workday on site. But the comp itself was sick. I've never in my life seen Seaside that good for a full week straight. And there was some epic surfing, got to cheer on some locals that did some serious damage. Unfortunately, none of them came out with the win, but it was an epic event. It was very entertaining, and I really hope the WSL comes back to Seaside for next year's World Juniors.
Yeah, that was awesome. I was stoked to drive up there for finals day. From my area, it's a good like 20 to 30 minute drive, but it was great to see the WSL fam and see those Groms ripping to see the future generation. So speaking of the old Wassel mate, just kind of wanted to connect and chat about kind of your role currently at the World Surf League. And also we want to get into some WSL fantasy as that is coming up in nearly 10 days. So kind of what's your role at WSL and what's your affiliation with the WSL fantasy?
I work on the social media team. I am a social media manager, been at the WSL for going on 5 years now, which is pretty crazy considering I'm 27 years old.
Damn.
epic. But social media team, we get to travel to all the events, do all the behind the scenes stuff you see on Instagram stories, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, sometimes YouTube, you name it. And yeah, also get to do a lot of fun content creation with making like statistics graphics and stuff like that, which is kind of where my role overlaps with the WSL fantasy world. Is I do my best, given the low resourcing, to give all the fantasy consumers out there as much knowledge as they want and need to make their lineup decisions for any given contest.
Awesome. So you're doing some of those social posts about fantasy. There was a couple carousel slides that you do stats and whatnot.
Yeah, I do. I try to do before every event, I try to interview somebody that has knowledge of whatever wave it is that hopefully has some bias. I kind of love getting some bias in there. It just kind of spices it up a little bit. And I interview them and I like ask who their men's power surfer would be, their women's power surfer, and then like a sleeper from both the men's and women's sides that kind of is somebody that probably falls outside of tier A and could do some serious damage in the event. And those are fun. And then after the event, I do another carousel wrap up that's like how many perfect lineups were there, who was the best man, the best woman, etc., and what it would have taken to kind of jump to the top of the leaderboard in any given league.
Awesome. Well, we love the work you do. That definitely helps give some insight, and we're looking forward to that coming up in the 2023 season. And on your personal side, if I recall correctly, you have won a fantasy league or two in your day, right? Can we hear about your experiences as a player of fantasy surfing?
Of course. I've been playing fantasy surfing since probably mid-college. So probably around 2015-ish, but I've just had a league since before I worked at WSL with a bunch of my mates. And I think I've won that once pre-WSL era and once post, or once during WSL era, sorry. And then if I'm not mistaken, I think I came in second in your Frothcast league a year or two ago, but I came in second to you. So you can't win your own league. So I guess that's like a asterisk victory for me there.
Yeah, I think I gave you a shout out for that, if I recall. Yeah,
I think you did.
That is correct. That is kind of dipping your pen in the company ink when you win your own league. Although people think that I tweaked it, there's no way to tweak it. I don't even know who the wizard is. So
I think you might have worked behind the scenes to get the dub on that one, Hendo.
here's the trick. You start a podcast about fantasy surfing, and then you get insight from other champions, and there you go. Right on. Well, you are a champ. Thank you for that. And we kind of want to talk a little bit about your strategy when you did look back on those seasons when you won. So are there any specific strategies, tools, or tactics that led you to that success, if you could recall?
Well, it's crazy because, like, I think fantasy surfing has changed so much since we both started playing it. Like, back in the day, it was, like, a lot simpler, and it was just, like, only men's lineups locked at the beginning of the year, and it's, like, oh, it's, like, okay, I can just do this once and forget it. But now with, like, power surfers and with lineups locking, like, after the elimination round, there's a lot more that kind of goes into the thought processes of picking a lineup, which I think is really interesting. As far as last year goes, I had a pretty okay year, but nothing to brag about, nothing too horrific. But the biggest thing for me was just making sure you recognize the brackets of the round of 32 for the men and the round of 16 for the women. It's just trying to avoid friendly fire and kind of spread out all your picks amongst the brackets, so that way you have the best chance of having all or as many surfers in, like, the semifinals. Cause I think that's always the goal, is to have as many semifinalists as possible.
I feel like we need a full breakdown of that bracket, because I think some people like yourself and Kaipo and Mr. Mahosler have figured out some of those bracket techniques where I'm just going three sheets to the wind, picking some people who I feel are kind of scattered across the board, and my success comes and goes. Although last year, I'm going to be totally honest, I sucked, dude. I didn't even pick a team for J-Bay. I don't know why. I was just burnt out. I was working a lot, and I was just like, I think someone in our league was like, mate, you didn't even try. I was like, yeah.
I think that was me. Hendo mailed it in. He was all, for all the Frothcast fam out there who don't have the inside scoop, Hendo got a little overwhelmed, I think, and kind of mailed it in toward the end of the year.
Yeah, that was Bush League shit. So apologies to the frothers out there, but we're coming back. I noticed today that if you're not a part of the Frothcast fam, we got to rebuild every year, and I'm asking people to join again. That happened last year too, so you kind of got to reset. So maybe that, for me, it makes sense that you want to make sure that we have users that are still engaged and that they join again. So for me, it's challenging because towards the end of the year, I think there was like 80 people in my league, 80 of which could potentially win some prizes. And now I think there's only 2 people in my league currently.
So. Yeah, I'm not really sure why that's the case. That's kind of a miscue on WSL side, if I'm being completely honest. But yeah, no, I will make it 3 people in your league as of the end of this recording. So
epic. Thank you. And if we get a sponsor, or we start balling again, there will be some prizes, but for now I cannot promise that. But I did shout out all the champions last episode, so go listen to that if you haven't. I wanted to ask you real quick though, as far as strategies go, I mean, you know personally how shit I am with forecast predictions, swell charts, and all that. How much of that actually plays into your success of fantasy?
It's pretty big. Depending, some locations more than others. But like, for example, if we're looking at the first event of the year for Pipe, if it's a more north swell, you know it's going to be a lot more backdoor than it's going to be pipeline. So that kind of factors into it, especially on the women's side. There's a lot of, how many goofy footers are there in the draw for the women? I feel like it's only Tati. Like Caroline Tati, and is that it?
Is Moana on this year's event?
I believe she is, but I don't think it's confirmed yet.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I mean, outside of those three, like, it's a bunch of regular footers on the women's side. So if it's more pipe, like, obviously you're probably going to end up locking those three goofy footers in your lineup anyways, but if it's like a more north swell, you like might want to think twice about it, and vice versa. So some spots it matters. And if you have the swell knowledge, you can kind of pick that one out a little bit better. But there's other spots that are like Portugal, where it's like, if the waves are pumping, it's like, who can make the latest drop and like actually like make it out of a serious tube instead of some 2-foot wind slot ramps that we see like Italo thrive in, you know, like it changes based on the swell forecast and all that stuff.
Yeah, that is what I like about teams not locking until the elimination round for the first five events. I like that because the swells can fluctuate, and it's kind of a crapshoot when you lock your teams right away and the swells change and you're looking at the forecast. You're like, all right, it's going to be solid barrels, so you pick better barrel riders. Whereas last year at Portugal, if you didn't have Griffin, who would have thought that he would make it to the finals and then end up winning? I mean, that backside air he had, like, that was a given when he did that, but him taking down his first win on the CT at Portugal for me was like random, but awesome.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he was tier C for that event because he had a shocker at Pipe, even though he's a phenomenal surfer out there. And then I think he had a shocker at Sunset too. So he, like, if you had him in your lineup, that was like the ultimate like choice because it was from the bottom and it wasn't necessarily somebody that everyone had in their lineup.
Yeah, we like to talk about the Colapinto curse here on the Frothcast. And after that event, it was lifted because so many people chose him for Survival League. And I myself chose him for Fantasy a lot. And as much as I love his surfing and him as an individual, those first two event results, I was like, buddy, come on, get it back together. So for him to pull it off was epic, dude. I guess another question of strategy that we talk a lot here about on the Frothcast is taking risks. So you zig when other people zag, going against the fray. So if everyone's picking John and Gabe for, I don't know, certain events on your tier A, you're going to want to try to take those risks because if you chose one like Griffin, it'll pay off. Do you find that zigging when other people zag, that helps you with your decision making on fantasy?
I think it's smart if you do it at the right times. Like, because for example, for Pipe this year, I think Gabe and John will both be tier B. And it's like you get four tier B choices. And are you really just not going to put those two in as like a tier B choice? That's right. Kind of the way I look at it. But like if it's an event like J-Bay last year, like where I think Ethan was actually a tier A. And it was like, okay, Italo's in the event. He's won it before. I forget who else was tier A. But like usually the tier A's are like pretty easy choices for most people. And if Ethan squeaked in there at the end, it's like, okay, he is like one of the best rail games in the world. And J-Bay like seems like a wave that's so suited to him. So like, if you can like kind of like see that result in your head, I like a lot of the times I encourage doing the zigging when others are zagging mentality. I really like that. But it like I said, it kind of depends on the event.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Thanks for that, bro. And lastly, another strategy question was kind of how many times do people say to you, oh, you're on the ground, you've got an advantage because you're at the event and you know so much more.
Annoying.
Right. And when it turns out that's like not true, if that was the case, like you and I would be champions 10 years in a row. For me, I don't find there's definitely some insight that you can get of like up-to-date injuries. You can see somebody get hurt right in the moment, right before other people. But otherwise, do you find being on the ground working the event gives you an advantage?
If somebody were to get injured, it's like, I'm not going to be able to do anything different than you can. And if somebody did get injured, like I'm the one running the social media, like that we're going to tell you guys, like it's like everyone in my league always kind of just like, oh, you're on the ground. You like, you know, who's been surfing good leading up to the event and like what the sandbars are looking like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, well, guess what? Like every single good free surf clip that goes down before the event, I'm posting it on WSL. So like, you're like the best shit is like, you're seeing it too. And it's coming directly from me. So it's like either follow WSL and look at that shit or like, shut up.
Right. I like to tell people who are saying that to me, I say, oh, I saw Medina eat a banana today. Do you know what that means? He's going to make it to round of 16. I mean, it's tomato, tomato. We don't have control. And I don't really see much of an advantage other than enjoying some of the after parties. I will say that's a good time, especially if you win fantasy.
Another thing on that too is like once again, people in my leagues are like, oh, like you're on the time zone to like swap people in and out, like after the elimination round and stuff. Like if we went straight from the elimination round to like the next round, but they don't realize I'm working my ass off. Mm-hmm. It's like, you really think I'm like changing my fantasy lineup while it's something I take pride in is probably the last thing on my to-do list while I'm working an event. Mm-hmm. So to all those people, big middle finger.
Well, as you could see, I didn't even pick one in J-Bay because I was so burnt out. So that happens.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, yes, WSL, working for WSL, like it definitely has your, your advantages, but it also, it can make it harder too.
Yeah.
I think it's a net even. It's really no difference compared to any random Joe playing fantasy.
Yeah, there is some luck involved. There is some skill. Some people have figured it out. We would love to have them on the pod. Call us up, Brada Kipes, Mr. Mahazels, come on down. Other winners. But let's get into what's new for 2023. So I read over some of the rules. If you go back to episode 23 of the Frothcast, I actually state all of the rules from last year. And I briefly skimmed over this year, and it seems like the only thing that kind of stood out to me was the team lock. So it was the subject of team lock deadlines. And so what I found was that the new rule states prior to the midseason cut, event 5, teams do not lock at the very start of each event. The first two rounds, called the opening rounds and elimination round, for all events will not count towards fantasy total. Prior to the midseason cut, your team will start scoring points in men's round of 32 and women's round of 16. Your teams only lock after elimination round, so you have the ability to select new surfers and designate new power surfers until that point. You're able to pick your team for the following event immediately after the conclusion of the current event. After the mid-season cut, your teams will lock and scoring will begin upon the start of the event, the opening round, instead of the end of the elimination round. So that, to me, makes it more exciting as we get closer to those WSL finals, especially with teams locking at the start after the mid-year cut. That puts a lot more pressure on who you're choosing. There's a smaller field, but it creates more pressure. So what are your thoughts on that new rule?
I think it's a great addition. I personally couldn't stand post-cut fantasy last year because all the women's teams ended up being like almost exactly the same for one. And for two, when there was less of a field, they were really trying to capitalize on like that one good swell. We saw that at almost every single event, and they would go overlapping heats from the elimination round into the next round, which just put a full blown wrench in anyone's fantasy plans, whether they're awake to set their lineups or not. Like, I would have my lineup and then it would just lock like halfway through the last heat of the elimination round. And I was just like, what the fuck? Like, come on. Like, I have like six surfers like in the first like four heats, and then you're just like screwed.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I think that's a great addition. And plus I kind of miss the days of it locking in the beginning. It added a level of, I don't know, a level of luck that I think was kind of missed.
Yeah.
Which is weird because I want to win it based on skill, but like I kind of like the luck factor of like picking like eight surfers and like somehow it working out perfectly with your heats to where they like keep on moving. And I don't know. I really enjoy it though. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's cool. It'll put more concentration on it. People will probably be quicker to watch the morning show on the first day and see what the waves are doing and then pick their teams, lock them right away. And it will go back to that early era where I was like, we're amongst wizards and witches, these people who are able to pick these random ass people, like, I don't know, Miguel at Tahiti or something. If it was back in the day and somebody had picked him in the first round, that would have been like, what? Or, you know, looking back at Griffin's win at El Salvador as well as Portugal. And then who was it at Margaret River on the women's side that ended up winning and qualifying?
Isabella.
Yeah, I loved her surfing. And that was, I wouldn't say it was random because I thought her surfing was so good at that point. But if someone had picked her in the early rounds and that paid off, that would have been brilliant.
I mean, love Isabella and love her surfing. She's a phenomenal surfer. But if you were to put a short list of women that were going to win that event, she probably wouldn't have been on it.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yeah, to your point, it would have been truly incredible if like you had Isabella in before the lineups locked, like before the event, and yeah, she went on to win. You'd be like, your team would be truly separated from the other teams.
Right. That would have been some like premonition shit. Like when I saw Medina, I was going to log cabins one day and I seen him in the bushes. I was like, that's a premonition. I'm going to pick him for pipe. Sure enough, he won pipe. Nobody picked him. I was like, I won that first event. I think I was like third in the world at that point. And then it was a slow demise shortly.
Yeah.
Thereafter.
And then what happened? Tell your followers what happened after that.
I didn't do so good. I didn't do so good, mate. But thanks for bringing it up, doggy. But yeah, any other new rules on 2023 that you know about for fantasy?
I don't believe so. From what I've heard, it's kind of, they might be focusing more towards next year for some big changes. But once again, I know nothing. That's not my department.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Either way, I'm looking forward to it. I love fantasy. It's a great time and adds a whole nother layer of my fandom for professional surfing.
Yeah, for sure. Same too. It's funny when I work those events and then at the end of the day, somebody will ask me like, hey, who's ripping? What was the best thing you've seen? I'm like, there's a surf contest? What are you talking about? I was in the zone. I was just working, you know? So it's tough to like fully focus, but it's a good time. Nonetheless, very grateful to be on it and hopefully work some more events with you this year. So speaking of this coming year, we do have some new people who have qualified for this year. On the men's side, we've got the return of Leo Fioravanti, Ryan Callanan, rookie Rio Waida, Maxime Hussonneau finally qualified, Ramzi Bouchaim, Emrod's back, Ian Gentile, Joao Chianca, Liam O'Brien, the Lobster, and Ezekiel Lau. That's the men's side. And the women's side, we're seeing the return of Betty Lou Sakura Johnson, Macy Callahan, Molly Picklum, Katie Simmers, and Sophie McCulloch. So out of those surfers on the men's side, who are you kind of most frothing to see perform this year?
I'm really amped to see Ramsey and the Lobster. Ramsey, for one, like, I feel like he's kind of one of those people that's been grinding for so damn long. And it's like, it was just really satisfying to see him qualify. It kind of just like, it gave you a lot of hope for like the new system and the new format for qualifying for the championship tour. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of people hating on the cut, but like, I really like how, it's kind of surfers like that you might see qualifying more. And I just love him as a surfer. I think his backhand is like absolutely lethal. It's up there with the best in the world. And unfortunately there's a far disparity between rights and lefts on tour. And if we get to see his backhand at like eight events on a right hand point break, like he's going to be really tough to beat before the cut.
Yeah.
And then also like Joao Chianca too. He's like a freaking animal. And I think he's like the most deserving of that second chance in terms of people that requalified. But also, like, in that same conversation is Liam O'Brien. Like, I was so excited to see him last year, and then he got hurt before his first heat. And it was freaking pumping that morning. I don't blame him for going full send before the first heat of his CT career. Like, I'm pretty sure the whole CT was out there. It was a real bummer to see him limping up the beach that morning, and can't wait to see what he can do.
Yeah. I was thoroughly impressed with his performance at Rottnest the year prior and kind of just putting his name on the board, getting to know him. And I've seen him in clips prior, but I also was super bummed when that happened. And honestly, I'm stoked to see Zeke Lau and Leo come back. They're kind of staples of power surfing in the CT, and they're such grinders that is great that they're coming back. And Arkell, I mean, love Arkell. He's such a good human. His story is incredible. And to see also Rio Waida qualifying for Indo is great. So we've got two new countries on the board. We've got Morocco with Ramzi, and we have Rio for Indo.
It's a pretty sick men's class, like top to bottom. Like all of them are pretty damn lethal.
Yeah.
It's going to be really entertaining. I'm really curious to see how many of them make the cut.
Yeah, for sure. Same. Well, speaking of which, on the women's side, let's talk about that real quick. We have a couple returning women, but we've got, especially of note for you and I, San Diego Loke Dog. And like, honestly, one of the more hopeful women we've seen in a while is Katie Simmers coming back, who qualified last year, but then denied her qualification, gave it back to the CT, right? And so for this year, she requalified again after a year on the Challenger. And I think her surfing has matured. She seems like she's ready to give it a good go. What are your thoughts there?
I'm pumped to see Katie surf on the CT. It's funny because like she comes off so like shy and like she, like, I don't know. It's like her surfing's the exact opposite of her personality almost. Because, like, you see her in post-season interviews, and she's shy. She doesn't want to answer questions, which I love, by the way. And then you see her, like, surfing, and it's, like, absolutely just aggressive.
Yeah.
And I love it. And, like, I don't know if anyone's seen her new edit, Toasted, yet. I went to the premiere at the Moose Lounge in Oceanside last week, and there was a lot of insane surfing in that. And another person highlighted in there was Molly Picklum, who she's really close with.
Yeah.
Both of them were going for punts like that entire edit. A couple of great makes. a couple of psycho ones that weren't made, but like you were very close. Like those two next year are going to be really tough to take down. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, for sure. That was exactly my thought. So I went out to Lakey Peak for Stab High, and the shit that Katie and Sierra were throwing down was just mind-boggling, especially Sierra's air. That was just so mental for like women surfing. That blew me away. And to see Macy qualify again, she's been like grinding super hard. And then I was really bummed when Betty Lou last year fell off tour, but I'm happy to see her back because I think she has so much potential too. She surfs with so much power and she has amazing style. So
absolutely. And looking at the first event of the year, like out of those rookies, like I think Betty probably has the best shot at getting a result at Pipe just because she's from Oahu. She surfs the North Shore her entire life. She actually has done decently well out at Pipe in some of the contests there, whether it was HIC Pro last year. I think she did pretty decently. And then also the Pipe Masters this year. Like I see her free surfing out there all the time. So I think she could be a sneaky good pick for first event of the year.
Yeah, and she's got Ross in her corner too. So Ross the boss, he's got quite a team on his hand with Tati, her, Luke Swanson, John, obviously. So a couple ledge dogs there. We're looking forward to see that new class. It's going to be fun and exciting. And we'll talk a little bit about the schedule now. The schedule is kind of the same as last year, although they replaced G-Land with Surf Ranch Pro at Lemur. So to go over it real quick, starting at Pipe, we've got the Billabong Pro Pipeline. Then we go to Sunset Beach with the Hurley Pro Sunset Beach, Mio Rip Curl Pro Portugal, Rip Curl Pro Bells Beach, Margaret River, Mid-Year Cut. And then we've got the Surf Ranch Pro in Lemur, California, Surf City El Salvador Pro, Vivo Pro presented by Corona Sacarema, Corona Open J-Bay, Shiseido Tahiti Pro, and then, of course, the Rip Curl WSL Finals at Lower Trestles. So as far as the schedule goes this year, what are your thoughts? Obviously, you attended a good amount of events last year, and you did go to G-Land, which is now replaced by Surf Ranch. What are your initial thoughts there?
I'm really bummed G-Land's gone, but I went through some shit at G-Land along with a lot of other people. So I totally understand why it's not on the schedule. Look, like from an insider's perspective, G-Land was kind of a logistical nightmare last year. And a lot of people went down hard with some gnarly jungle illness. Mm. And, I understand why it's not back. I get why everyone wants it on the schedule. It was a great event. I loved seeing it, even though we didn't even get that great of waves for it. But like, I understand why we're not going back. That being said, I still think that there's a lot of amazing waves on the schedule, and I'm really excited for this year.
Yeah, cool. Well, firstly, I'm glad that, you know, you're okay, obviously, going through all those things. But from the outsider in, it did look like, you know, some of that information wasn't readily available, but we saw fantastic waves at G-Land before, and then the contest kind of went on, and the waves were still good. It looked fun, and then it looked like one hell of a rager, which was awesome. Tunes provided by Dimity herself, which was all time.
Top five night on tour for me.
I was jealous. That's so sick, dude. That's one thing I wish was there.
It was legendary.
Yeah, that looked so fun. It was so cool to see the surfers for a moment just unbutton and have a good time, as they should. Man, they've been working their ass off the whole year. That Mid-Year Cut was so dramatic and stressful. So let a little bit of steam off the lid and have a good time.
Bring back the fun tour. Yeah. I think Dimity should be on every event. It's just the tour DJ and hype woman.
Dude, seriously. And if that happens, I'm happily putting my name out there in the hat to open for Dim. Because as you know, I've been playing a lot of a little bit slower disco here in SD.
That'd be a sick lineup.
Yeah, that'd be all time. Maybe we get the Fish back. Meet Dim and Fish would be all time.
Damn.
That'd be all time. But for me, last year, I loved going to El Salvador because, to be honest, I didn't know a whole lot about it. Naively, I didn't ever plan on going there for a surf trip, but to go down there for work, and the spot that we stayed at was right by where they have the ISA champions, and that wave was super fun. The food was great, the people were great, everybody was super surf stoked, and it was just an exciting adventure to go somewhere new.
That's an event that I have circled this year that I'm like really excited for, because I didn't get to go based on what was happening with me after G-Land last year, and El Salvador looks like a freaking phenomenal trip and can't wait.
Awesome. Well, last year, what would you say was your favorite event to work outside of G-Land or prior to all that?
I mean, we saw the best conditions we've ever seen for a contest ever at Pipe, in my opinion, last year. It had to be Pipe. Like, it was so damn good. It was plus Kelly Slater winning. It's just like, how can you beat that? So that event last year was absolutely all time.
Yeah. What was that like when Kelly came out of that final? Were you on the ground chasing him with the chair up? Were you filming that?
Yeah. Well, I remember it was right before, probably 5 minutes left in that heat. And I was standing on the beach next to Shannon Waller. Shout out Shannon. And we both looked at each other and there was like this weird little moment, like, holy shit, are we about to see like Kelly win another event? Like, this could be his last ever event win. Like, this is going to be nuts. And then he won. And that beach was so loud. I've been there for world titles. It was way louder. And that was the most hectic chair up by far I've ever been in. I think I saw like six people go down, and it's just like, usually the security guards can like pick them up and like kind of carry them to like the end and be like, get on my back. Like, we can do this. But it was just like every man for themselves during that chair up. It was pretty hectic and it was amazing to see in person.
Damn, that sounds like Rio comes to North Shore, kind of.
Yeah, no, I've never actually been to the Rio event, but it looked like how those chair up, or it felt like how I imagined those chair ups feel in Saquarema.
Right. Was there a party that night at the Outer Known House, or did Kelly have a celebration party at all? Or is there even an Outer Known House?
Yeah, there was a party at the Outer Known House sponsored by Manatee Mill.
With chia seeds and
yeah.
Perp, everyone's drinking perps and shit.
Yeah, it was a blast. You should have been there, man.
Right on. Well, speaking of Pipeline, by the time this episode comes out, we'll be like 10 days away from the start of the swell window for the 2023 Billabong Pro Pipeline. Will you be there on the ground working for this year's Pipe event?
I will. I'll be out there for both Pipe and Sunset, and looking forward to another month on the North Shore during wintertime. It's the best. Nothing beats it.
Amazing. And I'm assuming... let me see, it was Saturday, Dahui Backdoor Shootout. Did you see Moana's wave heard worldwide?
I unfortunately wasn't watching live, but I saw that wave a million times on Instagram, and that thing was insane. Absolutely psycho.
So gnarly.
Yeah, no, that was an absolutely nuts wave. I can't wait to see hopefully more of that Pipe this year from Moana Jones Wong.
Yeah, what kind of swell direction is that? Is that has a little bit more northwest in, or...
I believe that was straight northwest, so like around 310 degrees,
yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me on that. Right. But I think it looked like it was – I looked at Surfline, and I think it was like 8 or 9 feet at like 15 seconds or something like that. But, yeah, hopefully we get a couple good northwesters. Those are the money ones. Something last year, that would be pretty epic. Come on, surf gods, give it to us.
Yeah, I mean, that event was phenomenal. And that wave by Moana this year, that was a freaking 30, mate. So we've got plenty of time until the event starts this year. But if somebody was to hold a samurai sword to your head right now, would you be able to make any men's or women's picks right now as of just kind of general feeling?
Let's go through it.
Okay, cool.
I think I have some gut feeling picks in already, actually, because I'm just so frothing for the... Frothcast fantasy show. So many F's. We love some alliteration.
The frothers love it. Let's go. Let's do it. All right. Let's start here. We are at, let's start with the women because they're at the top and then we'll go from there. So tier A women.
Tier A, Steph, Carissa, or Joanne? I think this is a pretty obvious one. This might be, remember when we were talking about zigging when others zag? It's like, this is like not the time to do it, in my opinion. No. It's no. Like Carissa is like the pick here, and love Steph. Amazing world title last year. She is the greatest of all time. But it's like, are you really going to choose Steph at Pipe over Carissa? And yeah. Joanne's phenomenal too. But sorry, it's Carissa for me.
Yeah. The only thing I see with those three, the point of difference would, obviously they're all regular. The point of difference would be maybe Joanne's backhand is a bit better than the other two. I would say her backhand barrel riding at Cloudbreak has proven time and time again to be better. So if it was a bit more pipe, then you would maybe go with her. So it depends on the forecast. But yeah, I'm picking Carissa as my power surfer too. So moving on to tier B.
Tier B, we got... pretty solid list. Tati, Brisa, Lakey, Courtney, Tyler, Gabby Bryan, Isabella Nichols, and Caroline Marks.
And Betty Lou.
Oh, and Betty Lou. Sorry. Yes. Going off of what I said earlier, I think Betty Lou could be a sneaky good pick for Tier B. I really do. And then take the other Ross Williams contingent and go Tati probably, because we all know that she wants to send it going left on some scary waves. We've seen it from her at Chopes. We've seen it from her at Pipe. Just unfortunately, I don't think she's really put it together the way she wants to surf like that in the heat. I think big things are coming for Tati at Pipe. I really do.
Yeah, that's exactly my lineup right now too. So moving on to Tier C, we got Macy, Molly, Katie, Sophie, and Sally.
This is a difficult one. Why don't you take this one first?
I'm going to go based on experience alone. Sally has been such a gamer and a grinder for so many years. Her froth is unbeatable, and she's really put in the time at Cloudbreak and lefts of consequence. I'm going to go with Sally because just based on her vet dog status.
Gotcha. I think I'm going to go with either Katie or Molly, assuming that Moana doesn't get thrown in the mix, because she probably will. She won the event last year. She'll most likely get a wild card in. So she would be my tier C pick. But as we're looking at it right now, she is not on there. I think I'm going to go with Katie, you know, just ride the wave of the hometown San Diego girl and hope for the best. I've seen her out there charging. I know she's willing and able. So that's my gut pick, assuming Moana doesn't join the draw.
Okay, rad. Well, some good picks there. Let's move on to the men real quick. And tier A, we have got a plethora of ledge dogs here. We got Felipe Toledo, Italo, Jack, Ethan, Canoa, Miguel, Griffin, and Caio.
A lot of Brazil in there.
Yeah, that's interesting. So for me off the back, I'm going to go with Jack and I think Miggy. I would go with Jack and Miggy, I think.
Miggy is a freaking stud at Pipe. I think he's very underrated. That might be a good one though, because I think, Felipe is a beast. Unfortunately, I think I need to see it from a Pipe before I can throw him in my Pipe fantasy lineup.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of very like capable surfers in there that are like very worthy of being your tier A choice. I think Griffin is yet to do what he wants to do out there in a heat at Pipe, kind of like I was just talking about Tati. And I wouldn't be shocked to see him go very, very deep this year. So I'm locking him in, and I'm probably going to also lock Jack in just because he's such a stud in waves of consequence.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so you've got Griffin and Jack. Tier B, we have got quite a few here. So running down the list real quick, Connor O'Leary, Sammy Pupo, Callum Robson, John Florence, Gabe Medina, Yago, Maddie McGilvery, Jordy Smith, Kelly Slater, Baron Mamiya, Nat Young, Jake Marshall, Kolohe Andino, Jadson Andres, Seth Moniz, and Jackson Baker. I feel like there's more surfers this year or something. Is that the case? Or am I just
think sure? We're used to the post-cut fantasy.
Oh, okay.
It's crazy. There's always been that many. How nuts is that?
So for this one, you get to pick four. Obviously, I'm going with Kelly. I'm going with John. I'm going with... is Gabe on there? Yeah, I'm going with Gabe. And then I'm going to zig here and pick... I think I'm going to go with Baron Mamiya here. Yeah, go with Baron. It's either Baron or Seth, but I think I'm going to go with Baron. So what are your thoughts there?
So this might be the whole zigzag thing right here, because... if you're looking at it, I think the most common tier B is going to be Gabe, John, Kelly, and either Baron or Seth.
Yes.
And while all five of those are insane at Pipe, it's like there are plenty of other surfers here that can make heats, and this is when you're going to want to look at those brackets and kind of determine which ones have the easiest route to the quarterfinals and all that jazz. I mean, not that there is an easy route, but it's like, relatively speaking, like if you have like these tier B surfers are going to end up going up against each other very early. So like we might see a Frick, like a Kelly versus John round of 32. Like that's very possible or something like that. So this one, I'm going to keep my eye close on coming out of the elimination round, but my gut says obviously Gabe and John have to be in there no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I might zig away from Kelly and go with someone like Iago. I think Iago could be a sneaky good pick out there.
Yeah. Damn. Okay. So you're saying Gabe, John, Iago, who would be your fourth then?
If we had to choose right now, I'd probably go Baron.
Okay. Cool. So I like the zig-zig where others would zag. And now we're down to tier C, which has a bit more of those new qualifiers we're talking about. We've got Leo, Arkal, Rio, Maxime Husino, Ramzi Bukayam, Emrod, Ian Gentil, Joao Chianca, Liam the Labsa O'Brien, and Zeke Lau. My gut is telling me right now to pick Zeke Lau, and I'm going to zig and probably go with Ramzi Bukayam here if it's more pipe, although I'm not super confident in his barrel riding skills. I don't really know. So
he's a beast in the barrel.
Really?
He's an absolute stud in the barrel. I just actually, I don't think I've ever seen him surf pipe. Not to say he hasn't. It's just, yeah. I don't think I've seen him out there.
I think I'm actually going to go with Zeke and Leo. I think I'm just going to go with those stalwarts. They're super consistent and dependable. So it's challenging to go with, I mean, Joao, his performance last year was so sick at pipe, just barely losing out to John, I believe. But I think I'm going to stick with Leo and Zeke there.
I think Joao and Ian are the obvious choices. Ian Gentil is extremely, extremely underrated in all aspects of his surfing. Mm-hmm. And I worked the HIC Pro last year. It was right after Hall EVA. And Ian was packing tubes that were like as gnarly, if not gnarlier, than the rest of them. And I think he's always kind of proven that he can surf pipe extremely at an extremely high level. I think he also made it out of the trials one year. Yeah, Ian Gentil and Joao Chianca, those are my two picks. Lock them in.
Okay, rad. Good call there. And I did love his post-heat interview when Travis ran up to him and qualified. He was so humbled and appreciative. He's like, I've been grinding for years to get to this point where I've seen all my other buddies like Keanu and other Maui boys qualify. And this means so much to me. He was very close to tears, which deservedly so. That was an amazing moment for him to qualify finally.
Absolutely. And with the first two events being on the North Shore, like, don't be shocked if you see him like kind of high on the rankings after a few events. I think he could surprise some people.
Yeah, I feel like he could rip the shit out of Sunset too. So those are your picks there for pipe. Thank you, Brady, for your insight there. It's very valuable, my friend. And Mr. Doggy Brady Lawrence, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the Frothcast and being your mate throughout all of our journeys. Aside from dominating fantasy, you're also pretty handy with the old camera and have taken some beautiful photos, videos, and made some epic edits. Where can listeners find you on socials, awe at your art, and potentially purchase some nice photos?
The Instagram is at Brady Law. I have the link to some of my favorite photos that are available for sale there. So take a gander. If you don't buy, no worries. Either way, hope you enjoy your day. Thank you. It's been a pleasure, Hendo. And I've been a longtime Frother fan, and I'm happy to be an official member of the Frothcast fam.
Mental, dude. This is episode 30, so this is monumental, my man. I'll never forget my 30th birthday at Islands Burgers, sending it with the mates. So this is just as meaningful. So Brady, thank you for being a guest on today's episode, and you will go down in history for your picks. And hey, we're gonna take you up for that. If you don't succeed on your picks, we're gonna have a lot of angry frothers coming after you, dog.
I can't wait to have you back after my crystal ball comes true and like Ian Gentil locks in like a semifinal or something crazy. So yeah, let's do it.
That would be so sick. Thanks for your time and your insight, man. We are looking forward to playing this year, and we'll be watching from hopefully on the road. If not, we'll be on the sidelines. Brady Law, thank you, my man.
Sounds good. Thanks, dog.
All right, my dog, that's it for today's episode. Thanks for listening. Thanks again to Brady Lawrence for joining us, and check him out on socials at Brady Law. Follow the Frothcast at The Frothcast, and myself, yours truly, at @Hendo_Froth. If you haven't already, sign up for Surf Ival League, and please join my WSL fantasy group called the Frothcast Fam. At this point, I would like to hand the reins over to Gunther. He's going to tell you some stupid shit to do. All right, cheers.
Jawohl, it is me, Gunther. Thank you, Hendo, and thank you all for listening. Please like, subscribe, and go to Apple Podcast and leave us a review. It will help the pod. It will help us get a new sponsor. It will help Hendo make more episodes. It will help the fantasy prices. It will help my erection problems I am having. I mean, not erection. I mean, constipation. Is that the word? Something like that. But thank you all for listening and Wiedersehen. Thank you. Danke. Bye.